Recording has been started. You may now begin.
Okay. Thanks, Grace. I hear the recording has started, but I see it looks like it's paused in my Adobe room still, so I don't know if it's been recorded elsewhere. Oh, great.
Yeah, the operator started.
All right, good.
The operator started the recording on the Verizon side, but we haven't started in Adobe until you're ready. They will be edited to start at the same time.
Thanks, Grace. I think we're good to go. I think it's a good idea we start as a courtesy to those who are here on time and ready to go. So let's get moving.
Okay. I will do Adobe. I mean, we'll do the roll call based on Adobe Connect. We have some representatives from the law firm also present on the call just to help us with any questions that may arise about sort of the structural implications of some of the discussions. Is anyone on the audio line only? Okay. So, Jonathan, I'll turn it over to you to chair.
Thanks, Grace. Hi, everyone. Back again after a very short interval. As you know, I was, perhaps you didn't know, but I was volunteered by my co-chair, Lisa, to do this. Lisa's at the Cybersecurity Forum in The Hague today and was unable to step in as chair, so I've said I would do it. We've got a provisional agenda of the three items in the top right that I think covers what we need to. It's possible we could also touch on something from the Sidley punch list, which is item 6B, and I may come to that. That's the role of the PRF and the and or the CFC in the ICANN contract. But for now, I'd just like to check with you that everyone's happy with those three items on the agenda. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm glad you brought up the punch list because there were some questions we talked about in, I think, meeting 40 yesterday that we should deal with. And I think maybe punch list item 2 has some that we may need to look at, too. So I just bring that up. There could be others, but I just wanted to point out punch list item 2 as well.
Thanks, Chuck. So that's a good point. Let's put in the Sidley punch list as item agenda item 4. I had thought that we dealt properly with 2, but let's come back to that, especially time permitting. And it may be that it's, again, it's just a quick checklist to ensure that we have dealt with it. It's not necessarily only item 2, Grace, but that's certainly one item that we should look at there, including item 2. Yeah. Okay. Any other comments or points before we start to work our way through this agenda? All right, so just to remind everyone, the purpose of this is really to look at a combination of design team output and the overarching structure which we are tending towards, and to try and reconcile any gaps in the structure and or the relationship between the design teams and their recommendations, and to make sure that those, so far as it's possible at this stage, that we fill the gaps, and ideally while sticking to a limited set of substructures. In other words, Our optimum is probably to not introduce additional substructural requirements. So, agenda item 1 picks up on the role of the CSC as identified by Design Team N. Design Team N, as you'll know, was dealing with the, what was periodic review, but is essentially now agreed to be IANA review functions. And in that design team's output is a table. I don't remember the exact reference to that table. I'll just check that. That's just an annex. It says table of reviews. Thanks, Sabri. So let me hand over perhaps to Sabri to talk us through that table as the design team lead. And I think what we're looking for here is either, I guess, acceptance or questions from anyone else, particularly design team C on the CSC, if there is a problem with accepting those identified components within the table. Over to you, Avery.
Okay, thanks. This is Avery speaking. And still just provisional lead. I never made it beyond provisional lead. Although there's nothing quite so permanent as a provisional solution. Okay, so the table has, and this is the table on page 9. The top item in the table was the periodic full IANA program. I don't know that there's that much to speak about that. If you're looking at the table, you'll also see that I do refer to, in the notes column, the NTIA paragraph that comes from. And by the way, I'm working off the live one that's in the drive document. I can give you all that URL just in case. One of the things I did do there, just in case anybody wants it for reference, is the comments include the actual cut and paste from the comments, from the contract to the comments. So if anybody wanted to dive deeper into what's being covered, that's one way to do it. Without having to actually go to the contract. Okay. So then the next one was the review monthly performance report. Now, I believe that EPC already had a reference to that, but it was definitely something that was seen responsibility of the CSE and on a monthly on a monthly basis. Now this one is derived from C4.2 in the printed one, that there was an error. That was, you know, my error, but I had referred to it as C.3, but it's 4.3, but it's really 4.2. Any issues on that one? I don't know how I should go through this, whether I should stop after each one and say, is that right?
Avery, that would be my suggestion, is okay. Pause after each one and just ask for objections or comments, and if not, we can assume it is acceptable. That feels to me like the way to do it.
Okay, and I see from Donna that, you know, CSE will cover monthly reports. So cool. So that one's okay. The next one was one that, the site visit one, is one that was cut out, put back in, cut out, put back in. And where it ended up last, and it's not a CSE thing, it was an on-demand thing that could come up as part of the periodic review. And it was left in as that. There was a certain aversion to taking it out completely, like it would never be needed, and therefore didn't need to be mentioned as a possibility somewhere, but it certainly wasn't something regular or what have you. So it's not a CSE thing, just in case anybody has a issue with that, probably be good to bring it up. Okay, moving on. Now, this one was one wasn't in the NTIA, so W. Yeah. And this was the notion of... Okay, Martin, I see, sorry.
Thanks, Afri. Going back okay. To the site visit, I would note that the site visit was in the statement of work quite simply because under the NTIA contract, there was a requirement on the IANA functions operator to do this work in the United States. And I would also note that actually I'm not convinced it ever took place. The fact that there is no specific requirement at this stage, my own feeling would be that there would need to be a fundamental question before any site visit, and that would be, why do we think we need to do a site visit? And just sort of slipping it in as could be a component of a periodic review seems to me to be just leaving the door too far open. I think it would need to be justified. Thanks.
Okay. I hadn't assumed that the PRD would do it because they felt like it, but yes, Greg.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. I was going to point out what Grace also pointed out in the chat. I spoke with Ashley Heineman, who was from the NTIA at in Singapore, and confirmed that they did, in fact, conduct site visits. It was usually just a single person. I unfortunately did not ask what the scope and details of the site visit were, so I don't know whether it was, as Martin says, merely to confirm that the work was being done in the United States, or what might be more typical, which is to confirm that the work is being done in an appropriate environment using appropriate methods and hardware. So either way, I think it's, we could say rather than just on demand or in the notes that there, you know, should be a reasonable purpose for the site visit. But again, I think we want to reserve the right, and I think we want to let that be a judgment and not have the idea that somehow a site visit couldn't be conducted or would require some sort of separate negotiation at the time because it wasn't included now. Thanks.
By the way, Jonathan has indicated that I was inappropriate in opening the door. Jonathan, you're trying to.
Yeah, thanks, Avery. Just a sort of point of order here, as you anticipated. I mean, this is an interesting point, but the purpose of this call is really to look at the impact of these three design teams on one another and try and reconcile any issues. So perhaps if we could try and focus on that, and I accept that this is an interesting and important point, but I'm just mindful it's a very short window to accomplish some quite important points. So let's see if we have time to come back to this or to pick it up, issues like this that aren't directly impacting on the other design teams present. I'm also conscious we don't have the full work, CWG here, and this is technically a group of design teams meeting. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, certainly. Donna, you have your hand up next, considering Jonathan's comment, but please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So just to add that I think the reason the site visits were put in for the current contract is the functional separation of the IANA department. There's a Chinese wall that's been put up within the organisation, so I think that was the original intent for the site visit. And I think once they've concluded that that was established, then the need was no longer necessary.
Thank you. Moving on now to the next one. I don't think we'll have this issue again because I think all the rest of the lines in the table, rows in the table, do have effect on some other design team. So next one presumed that the CSC would report once a year on how things had gone. I don't know that the CSC plans to put out an annual report on IANA performance. It seemed reasonable within the review group that there should be such a thing, so that's certainly a presumption on another design team perf. Donna, is your hand still up or is it a new?
Well, it's still up, but it's new. So we do have provision within the charter that on an annual basis or as needs or demands to conduct consultation with IANA functions, operator, the primary customers, the naming services, and the ICANN community about the performance of IANA. So in my mind, that's covered.
Okay, thanks. Next one was the NTIA SOW included a performance metrics, figuring that CSE would be the one to review performance metrics and put this on a quarterly basis. Wasn't quite sure that the metrics came out on a quarterly basis, so that timing should perhaps have a question mark beside it. But it was a CSC figuring that, you know, there was an assumption, and I'll take step one aside, there was an assumption that for anything reported, somebody has to review it. For any audit, someone has to review that audit. And in most cases, the appropriate looked like the CSC. So that's been pretty much the presumption in this table. So any issue on CSC reviewing performance metrics, though the quarterly may not be the correct periodicity. Okay. Then there was a requirement for a customer survey report, I believe yearly. That seemed like something that the CSC would review. No questions? There was a security audit process report on an annual basis. Actually, it was an on-demand reporting obligation. It seems, though, that if there is one, again, it's the CSC, that would have to review that. There was a question, is the CSC report or an acceptance of the... Okay, I don't know which one... The only one that was a CS report was the annual one on overall performance and its evaluation. All the rest of these were NTIA reports and now would be IANA, you know, reports required by AIA of IANA would now be reports required of IANA by contract or what have you. So the security, anything security? No. Okay, there was a review. There was a risk management audit report that seemed to need to be reviewed by both the CSE and the root zone operators. And yes, Donna.
So, Avery, I just wanted to make the point that the table that you have is very similar to a table we had in the recommendations document we had for Istanbul. And with regard to 5.1, we said that IANA will be required to continue to generate and retain data for 1 year and provide an annual audit report to the CSC. So if the if your C 5.1 and 4.5 and 4.2 is matching with ours, then we do have a document that corresponds with yours.
Okay. So then we're fairly close. And, okay. Okay, so, and then there was the review of the annual audit, and that was the C53, and that was the CSC with community input. And I don't know how that would be handled, but that was CSC had primary responsibility, but on that annual audit review, it seemed like the community could also have input to that. Then there was the conflict of interest enforcement compliance audit report. That was an annual, and that seemed like it would be a community review, whether it was PRT or some other, with comments to IANA. It could just be open review. And that was it. Wasn't it? Sorry, there were more. That was it. Yes, Chuck.
Thanks, Avery. Just a couple questions. One of them, at least, I put in the chat. In cases where the CSC has to report something, who are they reporting to? Now, I understand it needs to be publicly reported to the community, but it seems to me there should be some entity specifically that they report to that confirms that it happens and follows up if necessary. Did you guys talk about that?
We talked about it. I'm not sure it's in there explicitly, but basically the notion was that ultimately, it's the periodic review that reviews all of this stuff that has happened in the interim period. The notion of the period of a community function on a yearly basis, the assumption would be it would be put out by review to the SOs and ACs.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
They're always there for review of a CSC report or any other report that goes out to a community function.
Yeah, we might
want to
be specific
about that.
But it
went away. Yeah. I think we may be, but I'll go back and check.
That's fine.
I don't remember all the words, whether that was it, but I'm sure it is. And that was it.
You'll see, Avery. Okay, thanks, Avery. And you'll see that Sharon has put in the chat that we should be clear on our expectations of what a community review is, because there's 2 points that strike me here. One is that... we could just report this, put it out, and the SOs and ACs and might do or whatever they want with it. Bearing in mind that the periodic or IANA review function is only going to be, assuming everything else is running smoothly, is only going to be convened every 5 years. So I could see them looking at the last 5 years of reports, which would make a lot of sense. But what action do we expect to take place in the interim on an annual basis? And also, a second point that I guess we should be aware of is that in the Sydney model, and maybe Sharon, you might want to comment on this, as I think it was you could see it that this report went to the board as well, and I would expect it's reasonable that it should go to the board. So the board, in that sense, is part of the community, and we may want to list the entities to whom this report, this annual report, is actually sent. And any expectations of action on that?
Certainly seems like a good point. It's probably out of the scope of this meeting, as you indicated earlier, but it's a good comment. We did discuss in the document some of that. We did discuss the fact that reviews that weren't being seen by the periodic review because of its cycles were to be reviewed as by the community ASCO. I don't SO. We never actually put the board. That makes sense. But and that the responsibility for IANA to take those comments in and do something, and it was the periodic review that would be the one that sort of said, yes, there were these reviews, there were these reports, there were these comments, and IANA took these actions. And that would be one of the contents of the periodic review. Thanks.
Okay, so Avery, thanks for keeping me honest about what is my own point about the scope of this conversation. We will keep it to that. But it does strike me that given the time pressure we're under and given everything else that's going on, it would be useful for you to take any peripheral inputs, if you like, or supplementary inputs and try and incorporate those into an updated document that goes to the group, and that we may even touch on at our next full CWG meeting. That would be very helpful.
But of course, I accept that admonishment. And in fact, if you go to the one that I put the URL on for, you will see that it's already started including suggested edits dealing with issues that came up in the CWG already. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Avery. No admonishment intended, just trying to manage the balance of sticking to what we're doing here and yet capturing some useful and important points. Okay, so it strikes me that there's certainly, with coming back directly to the interrelationship with the CSC, I mean, Grace has offered to reconcile the tables from the pre- Istanbul output of the CSC together with this and ensure that they are reconciled. So I think that should be an action, but it does appear that from the notes that there are no significant concerns with the CSC absorbing the tasks envisaged by TTN. Okay. I think that gives us the opportunity to go on to item 2 then, which is now the interrelationship between Design Team C on the CSC and Design Team M, the escalation work, and in particular to identify any issues where the role of the CSC is envisaged in phase two of the Design Team M work, and recognizing the points made to us by the Design Team C of the desire to really tighten and focus the function of the CSC. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks. And before we actually get into phase two of the customer service complaint resolution process, there was one issue that I'm not confident that we ever agreed on with Design Team C in phase one of the customer service complaint resolution process, and that was that phase one was a process that is open to anyone and not just registry operators. And that's the way it is today. So I guess just a question to the Design Team Design Team C co-chairs and anybody actually. Are we okay with that now, that it's open to anyone? It's just an email that would go, and then the IANA staff handles that. But I want to make sure that we're okay with that. And we eliminated the step of the CEO in there and the GDD president as well. So are those changes okay? Is there still any disagreement there? If not, we can just go on. That's fine.
No, I think that's a good point in particular. I mean, one of them is really an issue. Chuck, we touched on this in the meeting yesterday, in fact, that elimination of the step, and I remember it was myself at least who talked about that step in phase one. Technically, again, that's an issue for Design Team M, but I take the point that that may not have felt completely resolved. I think on the second point, the one on who has standing to raise a complaint, it is a link with the CSC. I seem to remember that there was a concern from the CSC about the Design Team C about this. But moreover, if the CSC is to be involved, the width of the funnel at the beginning of the complaint process will potentially impact the CSC. One thing you could do, Chuck, is remark for briefly why you, in Design Team M, accepted complaints from anyone, including individuals, rather than of customers of the IANA function, which I think would be helpful to set the scene on that one.
Okay, it is Chuck again, Jonathan. Well, first of all, it's the way that it happens today. Anyone, the customer complaint process that's in place today for IANA is open to anyone. Anyone can file one. And members of the Design Team M, some of them felt like anybody, if they catch something that maybe a direct operator doesn't catch, or a concern that a community member has about the process has, you want them to have an avenue to communicate it. And it doesn't happen very frequently as we understand it, but it's an opportunity that's there to the whole community, because the whole community is an indirect customer of the IANA services. So that would be the reasons that it's there. It's a fairly light thing that really the IANA services team handles in phase one. So the CSC isn't even involved in phase one.
Thanks, Chuck. Let's go to Donna then.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Chuck. So I think Grace is concerned that this is an IANA process. We've had some back and forth with Kim Davies on this, and this goes to phase two as well. This process is not used very often. In Kim's mind, there's been 8 or 9 times in the since he's worked at IANA, which has been quite some period of time. I don't know why we would seek to change something that is actually an IANA process and seems to work well. So I don't. I understand if it was something mandated by NTAA, but if it's actually something, it's an IANA process now. I don't know why we would necessarily play with it or why we need to. But also, some of the complaints that are received by IANA relate to CCTLD delegation and redelegation, generally, you know, arguments between two of the parties in a delegation or redelegation. And in my mind, the CSC has no role there. So I think it's not only about the general statement about receiving a complaint. It's the nature of the complaint. And so you've got some of those complaints that would not be appropriate for the CSC to interfere in anyway. And any questions that relate to, you know, not meeting a service level target associated with a WHOIS database change or, you know, the time it took for a delegation to happen is probably fine. But anything beyond that, I would have a problem with. So it will be important to identify the type of complaint that that Chuck's team anticipates the CSC will get involved in.
Donna, just a point on that, and to anyone else on the call, there's a sort of corollary to that thinking. It's really, if not the CSC, then who? I think that would be very helpful if anyone has an idea, and it's, you may not, and I'm not, you know, you may not be able to offer that, but just have that in your back of your mind. In any particular example. Chuck, you want to come in next?
Yes, please. Thanks, Jonathan. First of all, I thought we were talking about phase one, and we're going to get to phase two, and there is no involvement of the CSC in phase one. So if we want to now jump to phase two, I agree. That's the critical issue we really need to decide on. So I would like confirmation.
Right, Chuck, let me call the question then. Are we done with phase one? In particular, with the point that you highlighted on phase one, which may relate to the CSC, which I think we have covered adequately. But let me just check: is everyone happy with phase one? Otherwise, we'll need you to speak now, including that individuals are able to raise complaints. And I should say that although we'd say that, it's about this is about an escalation for someone relating to a point where a response or service delivery has been slow or unsatisfactory.
And Jonathan, Chuck again. So I think there are two questions. That number one, is it okay that in phase one only anyone can submit a complaint? And part two is we adjusted the current IANA process because we didn't see a lot of value in escalating it to the CEO. Now, I don't think that we're going to fall down hard and fight for that if people want to just leave it the way it is. But so those are the two things. Are those okay? And if they are, let's move on to phase two.
Chuck, I mean, this is slightly tricky because on the one point, and I don't want to distract us with this now. I happen to personally have a little bit of a disagreement with that, but I almost would take this up with you separately. And secondly, notwithstanding my own views, it's not really kind of in scope for this meeting. So in the sense that it doesn't impact on the other design teams as such. So that said, you know, if no one else has an objection, I think we can move on to phase two. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Chuck again. And just to set the stage for phase two, and I'm not pushing that it stay this way. I just want to make sure everybody's clear. of what Design Team M proposed for Phase 2 with regard to the CSC, okay? The introduction to Phase 2 says this, and I don't know if we can pull up the Phase 2 language or not, but if we can, that's great. So notice what it says there. It says, should the issue not be resolved through the involvement of the IANA functions team and or the ombudsman, the following escalation mechanisms will be made available to, this is a key point, direct customers. This was an adjustment we made in response to Design Team C. And then A says, CSC is notified by complainant to take action. I think we're all okay on that, and that came up in the call yesterday. And then here's the critical step: CSC decides to take action or not. That's a decision point. Okay, should it be escalated or should it be dealt with further? That's a CSC decision point. That's that management role, I think, that we talked about yesterday and that we need to come to agreement on. Now, I want, if you'll scroll down to the footnote number 5 on that page, with regard to the fact that only direct customers can escalate it to the CSC or whoever we decide to put there, notice that it says, non-direct customers, including TLD organizations, that are of the view that an issue has not been addressed through step one may escalate the issue to the ombudsman or via the applicable liaisons to the customer standing committee to step two. Now, my purpose of going over this stuff is not to advocate for it. I think that's what we've got to decide in this meeting in terms of whether it's a CSC or not. I just want to make sure that everyone understands how we propose the CSC involvement. And, of course, then that flows down. If it's the CSC in Step A, then that continues in B, C, and D with the CSC. And I'll stop there unless there are any questions.
Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Maybe a detail, but in 2B, where it says the CSC to mediate directly with IFO, who at the IANA functions operator would be on the other side, or is that left up to the IFO? We're not going to designate a particular role. And secondly, mediation involves two parties in addition to the mediator. So I'm assuming they'll mediate between the IFO and the complaining party.
I think you're correct on both points, Greg. This is Chuck. We didn't specify who. Your latter point is correct, as I understand it.
So we've got Martin next. Go ahead, Martin. And I noticed Kurt, just to make a note there, that Kurt's asked the question as to whether the IFO equals IANA or ICANN, just so that might be worth clarifying when rolled up into the next response. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. This one gives me, certainly in the hypothetical, a serious cause for concern, because the people who will be looking at these complaints in the CSC would then be people from other registry operators, and then that starts sort of stimulating in my mind the fact that registries are now being encouraged to get involved in the interests of another registry operator. And that, for me, is, I think, a significant problem. Now, in yesterday's call, Chuck did make mention of the fact that this is not necessarily specifically policy related, but rather more, I think he referred to it as being technical policy. I think I would need a lot of convincing that the CSC should be involved in doing mediation on anything that has anything to do with policy. If there is a policy issue at stake, that needs to go to the policy authority. And if it is more to do with process, then perhaps the CSC could look and check that process has been followed. But ideally, that if there is a question, an issue to be answered, then perhaps we could look to the IANA functions operator being the providing a mediation service, an independent independent mediation service that is then called on by the CSC to address this directly, so the CSC can stand out of the loop. Where certainly I, for one, feel very uncomfortable that it would sit. The big issue for me is that if we end up with lots and lots of complaints coming in through this process, then that is probably the most significant issue for the CSC to be aware of, because then something is going wrong, and I think then the CSC does need to be asking the IANA functions operator why it is getting so many complaints, perhaps on the length of time it is taking to resolve issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. A couple of quick points here. One, the discussion's focusing around point B, and we must recall and make note that there's point A as well, I think, where the CSC has got, as envisaged here, has quite some discretion that, needs to be dealt with. Second is the point that you or Don made earlier, and that the status quo is that there is a low volume of complaints. And I guess as we currently envisage it, there is, should there be a high volume of complaints, an opportunity for the CSC to invoke via the review function an ad hoc review. So I think we could have, and I'm going to postulate this, that we work with a working assumption that there is, in quotes, a low volume of complaints, you know, consistent with what is received at the moment in reviewing this. Chuck?
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Martin. With regard to B and the mediation, let me point out that Design Team M and its discussions on that, I personally asked whether the team would be okay to just eliminate that step and eliminate the CSC role in mediation, because I thought, well, I don't know, is that okay? Because it appeared that, I know that Design Team C was trying to minimize the role of the CSC. The majority of the people that participated in Design Team M wanted to leave that in there, but we modified the language and said, if deemed appropriate and feasible by the CSC. So again, Jonathan, on this step as well, we built in some discretion there on the part of the CSC if the CSC is the one that performs this role. Now, I want to go back to the conflict of interest, and I get that, and it's a really important point raised by Design Team C. So I don't think anybody on Design Team M didn't respect that. But if we go to another organization, let's say we replace the CSC with the IANA review team, what we've been calling the periodic review team, well, that team's going to involve registries too. So I don't know that we've necessarily solved the problem, but we may have lessened it somewhat, because there are there's more multi-stakeholder community involvement, I think, in the IANA review team than there is in the CSC. So I'll stop there.
Just before we go to Greg, then, thanks, Chuck. I'd like, just if people could just address, I'd quite like to go through this systematically and make sure we either accept or don't accept them point by point. So if it could be, the moment we're confining ourselves to A and B, you could just make it clear whether your comments are addressed to A or B or both or neither. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. Greg Shatton. One suggestion is rather than using the word mediate, which is actually a defined skill set, maybe to use to facilitate discussions between the IFO and complainant. That way we're not potentially putting ourselves, you know, setting a particular standard of performance as mediators for the CSC. Presuming they're not going to go and take mediation training. I'm still a bit fuzzy on IFO even after everything in the chat. If a IFO means ICANN, that means that the mediation on the other side could be with Akram or Fadi or John Jeffrey and not with anybody within the business unit where the issue is occurring. So I don't know if we want to be more specific about that, assuming, or just kind of leave it to the circumstances and hope that ICANN puts the best person at appropriate to the level at that in that seat, or if we want to specify that it should be, you know, someone who's, you know, specify the capabilities of that person without specifying whether they're necessarily within the IANA group, you know, Elise's crew as opposed to the big crew. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Greg. So three things being worked just to make sure. One is that Chuck introduced the point that the language appropriate and feasible, which makes it very, very much in the discretion of the CSC whether to act or not. Two, Greg said, will the removal of the word mediation perhaps soften the sense of very specific responsibility for the CSC? And then third, this definition of IFO. Let's go to Chuck next.
Thanks, Greg, and thanks, Jonathan. First of all, with regard to mediate, we took that directly from the proposal that a group of registries put forward. You recall that document. There was the registry stakeholder group comments, and there was a group of registries totally independent of that that put forward some things. And in fact, most of the steps in here really went to that. They had suggested mediation and then arbitration and then so on. So, and there are other people from Design Team M on this call, so please speak up if you want to talk to this. I don't think that Design Team M has any heartburn over putting facilitate instead of mediate, and I think that's something that this group here today can deal with. So with regard to the specificity of the IFO, we didn't talk about that, and you know, our intent was to create some flexibility, and with regard to that, then if they want to go to Akram, or if they want to go to Elise, or whatever the case would be, I don't know that we care too much. But if this group wants to be more specific there too, I don't see that as a showstopper.
Thanks, Chuck. I've got an old hand, I believe, from Greg, and so it's Kurt next.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Kurt.
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Kurt.
Okay, can you hear me? So I have two points. One is we're trying to replace the NTIA function, and I don't know currently that there is a there's ever have been a, you know, a formal mediation or a mediation step in what is done now. So if someone has a complaint, they go to NTIA perhaps and complain, and NTIA would go to ICANN, the ICANN board, or IANA and say, fix this and let me know when it's fixed. So the NTIA didn't really facilitate a mediation or help conduct a mediation or hire or retain a mediator. So for looking at replacing what's going on now, you know, I don't think mediation was part of that. But given what Chuck just said, that the registry stakeholder group requested such a step, then it could be built into the process as a formal mediation, the way mediations occur, with a process that as mediations occur now, you know, each side agrees on a mediator or something like that. So I think that putting first, mediation is a new thing that hasn't occurred in the current regime, and secondly, if we decide to install a mediation process, which might be a good idea, I don't think the CSC should become operational and be put in the middle of that. It should just, which to a certain extent could result in the CSC choosing sides somewhat. So I would take the CSC out of it and put a mediation in that's established by, you know, regular mediation means.
Jonathan, this is Chuck. If I can just correct one thing there that Kurt said. It was not the registry stakeholder group that suggested mediation. It was a totally independent group of registries that put forth that proposal that the whole CWG saw that suggested that.
Hey, thanks, Chuck. So I've got a few things floating around now. I mean, there seems to be an issue of whether, you know, there's some really fine semantics here. Like, for example, the point that Kurt just made, it's whether the CSC assigns a mediator or whether the CSC proposes mediation at that point. So, these, you know, it feels to me like there's a way in which this is quite semantic, and with some tweaks of the words, we could perhaps, and this is what I suggested yesterday, talk about the CSC as more of a neutral manager, someone with a role but without necessarily a bias, which does deal with the conflict of interest issue as well, in much the same way I think I made the analogy of the GNSO Council. So if people could be thinking perhaps in that way of how this process and or words could be modified to neutralize the role of the CSC, that might be helpful. Greg?
Thanks. Greg Chatton again. A couple of things. In terms of B and C together, and having a little side conversation, but the way I read this now is that B refers to, I'll call it facilitation, informal facilitation by the CSC between the IFO and the complainant, and then C refers to retaining a true neutral independent mediator. I don't know if that's the intent. That would be much more clear if B said facilitate rather than mediate, but it does say mediate directly in B and then assigns a mediator in C. So, again, not sure. I would appreciate clarity. I think Grace seems to believe that C, you know, relates to assigning a trained neutral mediator. As a corollary point to that, I don't believe that the CSC, you know, being composed entirely or almost entirely of registries, can claim to be a neutral party, which is probably another good reason why it shouldn't be cast in a formal mediation role. I think it can try to, you know, act for the greater good, but it's always going to be a customer-driven group. So I don't think there's any industry in which a group of customers or users or buyers would hold themselves out as a neutral organization to sit between customers and individual customers and the service provider. So I don't think we should start here. Thanks. Of course, if we had a group that was not so uni-stakeholder, that would be less of a concern. And Jonathan, in citing the GNSO, does cite a multi-stakeholder organization. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. I won't respond to that at this point. Let me defer to the queue, which is Stephanie, followed by Donna. Stephanie?
Thanks, and sorry if I'm jumping back a bit because I missed this call on Monday. But to me, this phase two document reads like A through E are all supposed to be sequential, whereas to me, C, D, and E seem like they all could be appropriate options depending on the nature of the issue, and they should be kind of sub-bullets to the same next step. So if an issue was not addressed, depending on whether we determine that appointment of an independent neutral mediator was appropriate, if the issue is not addressed, the CSC could assign a mediator or escalate it to a problem management procedure or just kind of go back to the registry operator and refer them to the independent review process or just leave it at that and allow the registry operator to leverage that process. They seem like possible steps, but not necessarily ones that need to be followed in sequence the way they're laid out here.
Thanks, Stephanie. And one of the challenges now from a kind of chairing point of view is there's a bunch of suggestions and comments that may or may not help if they were incorporated as edits. So what I heard you say is that you would go for, it would be A, B, C, and or D, and or E would kind of fix that. I'm just wondering whether we go to some sort of dynamic editing of this. I'm not sure we're quite ready to do that yet, but it may be that by tweaking the editing and doing some wordsmithing online, we become more comfortable with the way it's structured. But let me go to Donna next.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I think I could take some comfort in this if we identified the criteria under which the CSC would receive a complaint and what would lead them to decide to take action or not. In my mind, that's what's missing here because, as I said previously, the CSC has no role in CCTLD delegations or redelegations. And in my mind, the only thing that the CSC should be interested in is whether the SLAs have been met of IANA. Maybe that's just a little bit too far to the right. Maybe there's some more middle ground there. But I think if we can identify the criteria here, I might be a little bit more open to this, to the CSC. So I have a problem with the CSC deciding to take action or not, because unless it's based on some criteria, and that has to be transparent to the person that's making the complaint, as well as it is to IANA, as well as it is to the CSC, then I might be able to, then I think it might be easier to respond to this. But as it is, it's very kind of wide open at the moment. So I think we have some more work to do in just putting a framework around this as to what kind of complaint the CSC would be responsible for. As it refers to B, I think that second part after the comma should come out, CSC to mediate directly with the IFO. And maybe it's just the word mediate that I have a problem with, but, the CSC could discuss with IANA the complaint that's been received to get the other part of the story as it relates to criteria that it's deciding whether to do something about this or not. But I just think, as it is, we need to be really clear about what complaints the CSC would receive and act on, if they act at all. So I think that's where I'm coming down to on this. And if a mediator is required, then that's almost a separate issue. Maybe that's something that IANA could actually have a list of mediators and could manage that. And if mediation is necessary, then that could be managed by IANA, and then the results of that can come back to the CSC. Thanks.
Donna, thanks. Those are some very practical points, and I can see how if one constrains the problem to the extent that A2E is a problem, how it might get people into a more comfortable place. The challenge is whether we even attempt to do that now or whether we go away from this call and try and do it separately, because I can see how, you know, it feels to me that words are popping out that could potentially fix this, like, you know, Chuck's team put in the appropriate feasible language, and then if one removed, just by way of example, in B, CSC to, as you were suggesting, to interact directly with IFO or to discuss directly with IFO, it gives an opportunity. I think what would be attractive about just that particular example is that it would create an opportunity for lower key resolution without escalation. But I do accept there have been some counterpoints, including by Greg, where there were concerns about that. So I'll stop in one moment, but just bear in mind that our objective is twofold here, is to build a process with integrity and with lack of complexity if possible, so that we try and use the existing entities we've created without relying on the creation of yet more supplementary and entities and complexity, if at all possible. Greg? Chuck?
Thanks. So one of the reasons we use CSC here is, of course, we haven't yet seen the final recommendations of Design Team B, but was to not create or involve a new organization in this, if so it was for lack of complexity. That said, with regard to some criteria with regard to what complaints, the nature of complaints are is they're wide open, okay? We could create a list of complaints and try to create some criteria that would be used, and probably that's something that could be done later in the process, but you're never going to cover everything. So I think that's a challenge to do. It would be nice if we could, and certainly maybe some principles could be developed in that regard. But more importantly, what we have to do, and Donna's right, okay, in A, the step calls for the CSC making a judgment call with regard to taking action. Whoever, I mean, if it's not the CSC, we need to decide who it is that makes a decision. Otherwise, we just let unresolved complaints drop. It just goes nowhere. It ends. And if that's what we want, that's what we could propose. Doesn't sound like the best thing to do to me, but if it's not the CSC, then the decision we need to make on this call, who is it? Unless we want to just let complaints fall by the wayside if they're not resolved.
Okay. Thanks.
So
Kurt next.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I have 2 points again. One is to sort of put a point on how CSC participation in an active settlement discussion could become problem. Now, think about, gosh, I forgot that guy's name, but there's the there's like the industry gadfly, right, that gets in the middle of a root zone change and say, you know, you shouldn't make that root zone change because this registry operator isn't complying with all the rules or something like that. You know, if even if the CSC were to deem this not appropriate or feasible, well, then you'd have a community member saying that the CSC and registry operators are stonewalling the process and refusing to get involved in an active discussion. And, you know, similarly with a root zone change and a CCTLD that is either the beneficiary or victim of a root zone change, you know, if they wanted to bring a complaint and wanted the CSC to sit at the table, you know, how can the CSC possibly sit at the table and participate actively in a discussion that is essentially a discussion between two parties to a CCTLD dispute. So I'm looking at this as protecting the registry operators and protecting the integrity of the CSC once it's formed and maintaining its good reputation. And that's why I think we really need to be careful about restraining its role to a monitor and not an active participant of any kind, whether it's mediation or facilitation in dispute resolution. And then, so think about, you know, as many examples as you can, but the CSC can just be put in a really bad spot, no matter how many rules you write around it. And then secondly, thinking about what Chuck says, you know, I don't think that means that problems are just left. You know, the CSC to me is a monitoring and reporting organization. And here's a complaint that's been lodged. So IANA, take care of it. And if you know, IANA doesn't take care of it at first, it goes through an escalation process that could include the election of mediation by the complaining party, and we could create a rule where ICANN or IANA and the complaining party have a mediation. But it also includes another form of escalation where, you know, it goes to IANA and then ICANN senior management and then the board of directors, and that escalation process could include, you know, forced changes. So if these problems aren't addressed in a certain period of time, you know, the escalation, you know, includes some change to processes or some change to organization or something like that. So again, I'm making these points because I want to protect the registry operators and the CSC from becoming embroiled in some dispute where they're painted unfairly with some brush. But I don't think, you know, the argument that if not CSC, where, then where, really is the right one, because I think, you know, the CSC can monitor and report and escalate and give it to other people to settle, not the CSC.
So, Kurt, those are good points, and that protection is clearly a valid concern. Isn't it such, and it slightly links to the point that I was thinking independently, but it does slightly link to the point that Marika's just posted in the chat here. And if we put the CSC in a constructive role as facilitator, but if at any point the complainant has the opportunity to go elsewhere, to escalate elsewhere, what we do is we create the opportunity for the CSC to be constructive yet not be constrained such that it is not caught in the middle. So that might be another way of thinking about it, where as long as we don't force the CSC into that difficult position where it can get caught, but if the complainant is dissatisfied with the CSC's role in any sense, it has the next step to go to in any event. Martin?
Yeah, so my point, Jonathan, is that the C might not be able to back out gracefully from such an obligation, that if the CSC has the flexibility to get involved, that others might demand it get involved, and that the CSC not getting involved would be construed as actually the CSC taking a side in a discussion. So again, I see this not for the complainer to escalate. I see the CSC as being able to escalate. So not facilitating the solution, but saying, you know, IANA, go figure this out and settle it. And if you don't, then I'm gonna escalate it to the next step.
So Kurt, that was helpful additional explanation. I'm mindful that Chuck may want to now respond, and Martin's waiting in the queue. But what I would say is, what would be really helpful as well is, we're in a position, which is why we're having this call, so just to be mindful of that as well, where we are trying to pull together a draft proposal that stitches together properly and stands up on its own two feet within a tight time frame. And which is where the kind of if not CSC, then where. And it's not, that's not necessarily the only way of framing the problem, but it is a question of, I prefer to see it as a proposal that is coherent and self-consistent internally. Chuck, did you want to respond directly to that dialogue, or should I go through Martin?
No, I'm going to propose a compromise to A through C, but let Martin go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Martin, go ahead, and then perhaps it is time, given the time scales we've got, given the time frame of the call, and I note that Grace has said we can extend it, so please bear that in mind, because we may need to extend it if we try and get towards compromise or alternate language. Martin.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. It might be more useful to hear Chuck's proposed compromise first, because a lot of what I was going to say, I think Chuck has already said. I think my main point is that complaints that come through the system aren't let ride. They can go through phase one up through to the ombudsman. And phase two, as it stands, item E is to go to the independent review process. At that particular point, and I've got great sympathy with the idea of not opening the CSC as yet another forum for people to go shopping in, and not putting the CSC in the middle. The actual role that CSC might have is to note, to log the number of complaints that are coming in and looking for patterns, and where those patterns might actually indicate that there are critical, persistent, or systemic failures in the process that need to be addressed. So D, I think, is where the CSC does have quite a clear and specific role. The other point that had me sort of reacting was the suggestion that CCTLD disputes might be raised here, and I would say CCTLD disputes are definitely out of scope. The reference always has to be back to the country concerned. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Noted. Let's go to Chuck then.
Okay. Here's my... At least this covers A through C. Martin brings up a good point with D, but let me propose some change language. A... Just simply say CSC is notified by complainant, period. Okay? Or it could be notified by the IANA operator. Doesn't matter, I don't think, in that case. Drop everything else. B would say if deemed appropriate and feasible by the CSC, the CSC can try to facilitate a resolution. C... If issue is not addressed satisfactorily to the complainant, by a direct customer, the direct customer can request a mediator. Now, the one part that's left out there, there's no option for just a general complainant that's not a registry operator to do anything, but we can talk about that. So that's A through C. So I think that meets the objectives of Design Team C in terms of its role. D then, though, is still a key issue, and we still need to decide whether the CSC is involved in that role, or is that a case where we involve the IANA review team, just pull them out of idleness and ask them to make a decision on D. So my compromise doesn't solve D, but I think it should come close to solving our differences on A, B, and C.
Any comments on, let's confine ourselves to A to C as Chuck pointed out. And in particular, I mean, I could see the one area where you might, where people may want to modify something is the use of the word facilitate. Does that capture what role the CSC might be able to play? Donna?
Yeah, so facilitate is problematic for me, but I just wonder, could Chuck just go back through that again?
Be glad to, Donna. A says CSC is notified of the results of phase one. And again, I don't care whether it's notified by the IANA functions operator or by the complainant. Right now it says complainant. It might even be better if the IANA functions operator does that. B, if deemed appropriate and feasible by the CSC, the CSC tries to facilitate, and I'm not, that's a word from Greg, not from me, okay? CSC tries to facilitate resolution with the IANA functions operator or whoever we want there. B, if the issue is not addressed to the satisfaction of a direct registry operator, direct customer, the direct customer can request a mediator.
Consistent largely to what, with at least part of the language suggested by Sharon in the chat.
And that this is Chuck, that Sharon's language is fine. I wasn't really zeroing in on the specific words I was using. I was trying to communicate the intent of really moving the CSC out of any decision-making role, other than B, where if they want to, they can try to facilitate. And myself personally, I don't have a lot of heartburn with B one way or the other, but it is what Design Team M agreed to.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, I must admit, the more I think about it, the more I feel very, very nervous about leaving the CSC to have the for it to be open for the CSC to get to meddle in another registry's issues. And I have a particular concern there that somebody, I forget who, flagged, and that is that the non-direct customers can always work via their liaison on the CSC, according to the footnote, and therefore you might well find that you've got something where an issue that the registries would not consider as being appropriate for them to be involved in is being driven by one of the liaisons picking up the point. But I think part of the problem with B and if appropriate for the CSC to try to facilitate, if it's not appropriate, my guess is that the CSC would be expected to explain why it didn't think it was appropriate. If not now, then certainly in 4 years, 364 days later, when the PRF kicks in. It just seems to me that, let's not give them that role because of the overlap of interests. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. I see that Chuck's pointed out to you directly in the chat. Would you advocate that we simply drop B? And it's starting to feel like that B is a real challenge to live with from a CSC point of view. And I wonder if this is something. I'm starting to think that the way we could do this is, well, you could respond to that question directly, or Donna. And then maybe that this is something we could get to some form of compromise on, and then we may even want to ask questions about the role of the CSC and whether it should be broadened in the public comment. But that's a step further from where we are now. So let's confine ourselves right now to trying to get what we want to get into the document and into the current structure. Donna?
Thanks, Jonathan. So my question in the chat is, why not use the current IANA process that they have? If the complainant is not satisfied with the outcome, they can seek mediation at that time. The CSC can be notified of that. And, you know, if they've got their whiteboard up, they can tick that off. And that takes the CSC out of it. So depending on... If it goes to mediation, you know, that could be considered problematic for the CSC, but it's just another tick in the box for them. But I think, you know, the IANA process that they have at the moment seems to have worked okay to this point in time. If mediation is a separate option, like the Ombudsman is now, that the complainant or the direct customer could use, then that would be better rather than putting the CSC in the position of deciding whether, you know, the complaint has been resolved or not. And if they decide it hasn't been resolved, then they decide that that mediation could be an option. I think it should be up to the complainant, and it should be done at the time of the completion of the IANA customer service complaint process.
Okay, thanks, Donna. I'm getting a feeling that we're going to struggle to live with B, and and I wonder if we shouldn't start to concentrate on the reworded A and C, which we're close to having right. We should certainly square bracket B at this point, and it looks like it's close to being left out, and then put our attention on D and E so that we do end up with complete view of this issue. So I think, Grace, if you could help us by providing that edited copy in the notes section on the right, which will have a reworded A, a reworded C, a square bracketed B. In other words, it's likely to go. And then we concentrate our energies on D and E for a moment. Donna?
Sorry, Jonathan, that's an old hand, but I just had a thought as well that the Ombudsman is an option for in the IANA process now. You could just add where it says, is there another resolution process? The Ombudsman could be one option, mediation could be another.
This is Chuck, Donna. The Ombudsman's in phase one.
That's what I'm saying, Chuck. You can actually adjust phase one to include a mediator if the complainant decides that, you know, his complaint hasn't been satisfactorily resolved. The mediator option could actually be proposed in phase one as part of the IANA process.
Yeah, this is Chuck. I don't think it matters too much if it's better in phase that. The idea, I think the reason we divided into phase one and phase two was because of the assumption that CSC was going to be involved, and we wanted to separate those, but I certainly don't have any concerns about that.
So that's an interesting prospect. It still lets, I mean, collapse the two phases into one and just have a hierarchical sense of them and then make sure that that's certainly something that's possible. I'd still like to tackle D&E and just see if they have any role in the process. So if we could get some comments on whether what role the CSC might have in D or E, and that would be helpful. Just looking for Sharon's point here. Okay, yeah, that's a good point, Sharon. That's a really good point, and that there's a sort of segmentation there at that point between phase one and phase two. That is a good point. Sharon makes the point in the chat that phase two brings in the concept of anyone can raise a complaint in phase one, whereas phase two is open to direct customers only. So in D, we have if issue is not addressed, CSC to decide whether issue is a critical, persistent, or systematic failure, and escalate to problem management procedure. Is that an appropriate role for the CSC? And is that an or, as was suggested by Stephanie? Is it a C? Is it an either or is it an and with C? Martin.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think this one, for me, is probably a very important role for the CSC, but not because a systemic failure doesn't normally show up with just one complaint, but where you start to get a lot of complaints all come through the process, and it's at that stage that you start to identify that things are going wrong, and it's at that stage that the CSC probably needs to be in dialogue with the IANA functions operator. I would be surprised if there were systemic problems that would not show up through the various reports and dashboards that the IANA functions operator produces. But it would seem to me that, you know, if you suddenly get four or five people coming in and saying that there have been errors in the updates, or that they're being asked for excessive amount of information, that might be something that starts to show that the focus of this of the role is drifting rather from just delivering the immediate service. So I would see this one as right, but not on a not on an individual complaint, but rather as being an indicator of a number of complaints coming forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Martin. That's actually really helpful, I think, especially in conjunction with the point made earlier by, was it Stephanie, I think, just scrolling back to check. I'm pretty sure it was Stephanie, but I hope I'm attributing that correctly. But in essence, the way I'm now reading this as I look at it, I see that you've got this point A, CSC is simply notified of the complaint. At that point, if the issue is not addressed, the customer may choose to request a mediation. And moreover, the CSC should review the problem, not decide, it's probably review the problem and ascertain whether it's a critical, persistent, or systemic failure. In other words, C and D go together, and the CSC has a role and the customer has a role. The customer decides whether they want to seek mediation or go to mediation, and the CSC analyzes and checks whether this is it, which, as you say, Martin, is probably unlikely to occur since it's likely picked up elsewhere, but nevertheless, the CSC is busy logging and monitoring these issues, which puts it back into that monitoring function. So that seems to work well and effectively retains point D, probably slightly differently worded and with a C and D phrasing. I'm assuming that if anyone is finding that problematic, they will let us know, and noting that in effect, based on our recognition that phase one and phase two are different. We still retain phase one and two. And then I think we turn our attention to E, which is doesn't involve the CSC. So in a sense, that's kind of out of scope of this discussion as per my earlier remarks. Donna?
So this is just a general comment, but the start of this phase two says, should the issue not be resolved through the involvement of the ANA functions team or the ombudsman, the following escalation mechanisms will be available to the direct customer. The ombudsman process takes a very long time. So by the time of the end of that process, I would think that the, if we're talking about a change to the WHOIS database here, that has to be done in a reasonably timely fashion. And the ombudsman, the timeliness of the ombudsman is unknown. So I guess I'm questioning the, you know, escalation after you've actually been through the ombudsman.
Good point, Donna. Just to Chuck made, I have the notes in front of me, and Chuck made the point that the ombudsman's a voluntary step, so it may be that that wording needs to be tweaked, but it is possible to, I think as envisaged by the design team, and Chuck come in on this, the ombudsman's step could be skipped. So it's a really good point that you highlight, but it's possible if time is of the essence to skip that step. Chuck, can you confirm that to allay Donna's concern?
This is Chuck. That's correct, Jonathan. The reason it's in that introduction there is because it is an option up above in phase one. And so if it did go through that, it would be applicable. If that step was skipped, then I don't think that that a registry operator, for example, would go through the ombudsman if they had a timely issue that needed to be resolved.
And on that basis, Chuck, I would scrap step two.
What does step two mean, Donna? This is Chuck. I don't know what you mean by step two.
Sorry, phase two.
I would scrap Auslan Ombudsman and step... Oh, in that introduction, you mean?
Yep.
It's just there because it was an option up above. I don't know that that's critical to have it there. It was for... kind of for continuity there, but that's fine.
Easy fix there, Chuck, if I can help you, is to say, should the issue not be resolved through during the course of phase one?
That's good. That's really good. This is Chuck.
Good. Okay. Can I check with the group or groups, the composite group, that we've got to where we need to be as far as this is concerned. In summary, we've modified A, dropped B, modified C, made C and D joined up, and retained E, and slightly modified the introduction to phase two. And that seems to give us a phase one and phase two that work and are consistent with the constrained role of the CSC, but yet have involved the CSC in the escalation process as appropriate. Any concerns or issues before the sort of hammer goes down? Good. Well done. That's helpful. So we had. I know we've run over time, but I'm just going to check then because there was that item. I think we. Realistically, I'm wondering if we could go into that item three. I wonder at this point. Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah. Before you get to item three, there's another critical action I think we need to do, and that's Annex Z. And the IANA problem management escalation process, because that the way it's listed right now is the CSE is involved in that. Is that okay? But that's sorry to raise another probably heavy issue, but we need to make sure that the way the CSC is included in the problem management process, Annex Z, is acceptable.
Thanks, Chuck. That wasn't on the agenda, which is why I managed to miss over it there. I think it's I'm just checking it.
It's in item two,
yeah.
John.
So,
agenda item two.
CSC role and problem management. I'm sorry, yeah, problem management. I just wasn't called out as Annex C, which is why I missed it. Thanks, Chuck. All right. So, yes. So, can we pull that up, Grace, if you wouldn't mind, Annex C, and we'll have a look at that. All right. Can I be reminded if there were concerns, Donna or others from Design Team C with this? I'm just trying to remind myself if any concerns were here.
So, Jonathan, I can't remember either, but I guess a question for Chuck is, to what extent did you take into consideration the remedial action process that we had outlined in our pre-Istanbul document, and also is there a common understanding of what is critical, persistent, or systemic failures?
This is Chuck. I'm not sure I understand the question, Donna.
So as part of our Istanbul document, we had an escalation process scoped out, and the question is, to what extent did you consider that in developing your problem management escalation process, or was it considered at all?
I guess this is Chuck. I'll have to claim lack of memory on that as well. I don't recall.
Donna, can you remind us what happened to that? Where did that go? And in what, you know, there was an escalation process then. And what happened to that? And was it communicated to Design Team M? Or?
Yeah, and Stephanie might be able to speak to this because Stephanie was part of Design Team M. So, Stephanie, are you available to speak to that? I don't want to put you on the spot, but.
The design team, sorry, I'm not understanding the question, Donna. What escalation process are we talking about as a part of Design Team N?
So the Annex Z that is on the screen now for Design Team M.
Okay.
For Design Team C, we had an escalation process as well as
part of the application. Yeah, so we said that here it's saying that if the CSC isn't able to remedy these individual or these performance issues that come up with the IANA functions operator, then we escalate the issue to the GNSO or the CCNSO rather than leveraging the independent appeals panel.
So this is Chuck. Why don't we just look at these steps and see whether they work or need to be changed?
It's Jonathan. I'm okay with that. I think we could take a walk through that and just see if as a whole the process makes sense, but in particular as to the extent that it involves the CSC. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think I would just like to flag that in the process that we looked at and that we essentially based all our work for the CSC design team on. And no doubt we could, given time, pull that one up to set alongside this one. What we were looking for was to use the design team, use the CSC as a way of stimulating remedial action, so that when something goes wrong, the first action is to try and recognise what has gone wrong, and then start to look as to whether, well, actually, yes, something went wrong, but we know why and we understand why. And then, well, if we don't know and don't understand, then we look to the IANA functions operator to put forward its proposals for putting it right, for correcting the process errors or whatever it is that are going wrong. And that we then look through a certain number of internal steps which may or may not then be appropriate depending on the severity and urgency of the problem. And that, I think, was a very much larger sort of explanation of step one in Annex Z. Then the next, one and two, moving forward, we didn't put in a mediator step, whether that is then appropriate or not, I don't know. Obviously, having mediation steps is usually a pretty good idea if people are having a squabble. That then, rather than going to the binding independent appeals panel of step five, what we started to envisage was that we would go to the CCNSO and the registry stakeholder group to flag what we are seeing as the problem using that to go out for a wider consultation on the way of moving forward, one of which might be the sort of fairly lead to the fairly drastic step of calling in a process that would look at moving the IANA functions operator. So that is a sort of, speaking from my memory as best I can, was how our process laid out. I don't think it's massively different. It's just rather more detailed than we've got here. And where it does become different, as I say, is on the concept of mediation. We stayed on remedial action and cooperative working with the IANA functions operator. Then in items five and six, as to how to move it forwards. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. As I listened to you and read it, they didn't, as you said as well, they don't sound massively inconsistent. Donna?
Sorry, I didn't have my didn't mean to, but I agree with Martin's assessment. And probably where we start to differ is four, five, and six. I mean, six is important.
What I thought I heard Martin say, though, there was really just a step. There was a step which involved consultation with the directly affected party communities, and Chuck suggesting the chat with mediation could be an optional step. And it appears to me if you put in that consultation step and made mediation optional, you're pretty close to it. And given our objective here is to check the role of the CSC in this process, we probably might want to refer any more substantial change, just make sure that's run past Design Team M. But it doesn't sound like these are far apart. And it doesn't sound like also, and please challenge me on this, that the CSC is being drawn into activity that is out of scope of what was envisaged. So, Mark, when you say you'd like to see the design team C's prolines brought in here, you mean integrated with these, a kind of integrated document? Martin, go ahead.
Yes, I think so, because, as I say, the focus that we had was not on the dispute type of approach that we've been looking at in the previous section, but rather that it is in our best interests and the IANA functions operator's best interests to identify early where there is a problem and to put main effort into trying to do that to make sure that those steps are perhaps documented somewhere at that particular point. It then puts a slightly different spill onto the discussion where you're looking at looking for success rather than going to try and beat up on failure. Thanks.
Good, Martin, but I thought I heard you say that ultimately should it be necessary, mediation was satisfactory, if not necessary, component, having seen this. I wonder if it makes sense, rather than to try and edit this inside, given there's a second document, if there is a volunteer from each group that could just work together, or even alternatively we could task staff to try and integrate the two lists. Any suggestion that there's either a volunteer or two from both groups to try and pull together a common thing, or whether we're willing to trust staff to try and draft those two to integrate those. Any thoughts here? I mean, what I think I've heard is really just the prospect of accepting the mediation, but providing that the steps which involve community consultation and with a less confrontational, escalating to a confrontational approach less easily, we've essentially got the same thing. Donna?
Thanks, Jonathan, and I apologize if this is a little bit out of scope of what you're trying to do at the moment, but I think the potentially important piece here that is missing is the discussion. I can't remember anymore. I think we had a discussion about what would trigger a periodic review, and perhaps, I don't know Chuck's feeling on that, but that's kind of the step that we didn't get to. If after all these processes there wasn't satisfactory resolution and the CSC, you know, we said that we would take it through the CCNSO or Registry Stakeholder Group or GNSO to kind of escalate it up, I think potentially what's missing is that, what's that trigger piece?
So, Donna, we didn't discuss comprehensively what the triggers could or should be, but we did discuss the following and agreed the following. We agreed that review would take place after 2 years and every 5 years, no matter what. We also agreed that under certain circumstances, an ad hoc review could be triggered in between those five-year periods, and that the CSC could request such a review, I believe. I think we agreed that. So in this context, that would really be, I guess, five would become a trigger. Sorry, I've corrected language. HOC is not correct, but a special review could be triggered. We certainly didn't agree on any other triggers on that. So every I don't recall exactly where we got to on whether I thought we agreed that the CSC could be a trigger, but we didn't agree on any other triggers. But I may be wrong there, Donna.
Okay, so I guess I'm just wondering if it might make more sense. I'm not sure about if mediation fails, a binding independent appeals panel is initiated. I'm not so sure about that. Perhaps step five is more that it goes to the consideration be given to a periodic review being undertaken.
Review. Avery?
Yeah, hi, this is Avery. We've not really get at all specific about what triggers, what would trigger the special review. I've taken a stab at proposing some language in DTN, but it hasn't been reviewed, as far as I could tell, by the other members of the team yet, so it's just my ideas, and I'm not going to push those forward now unless asked, but certainly are proposing ways in which it could be triggered. I had gotten the impression, though, that while we wanted the CSC to be part of a trigger, we didn't necessarily or hadn't necessarily agreed that it was adequate in and of itself to trigger a full review. Now, maybe we do want that, but I hadn't gotten that impression yet. Thanks.
Well, Avery, that second point you made is entirely consistent with my memory as well. The CSC could be, it depends on your interpretation of trigger, but could set the process in motion, but wouldn't of itself completely trigger, you know, irrevocably the incidence of a review. So you're absolutely right. I agree with that point. Look. We are out of time here. I feel like we got pretty close on this Annex Z. I'm just wondering if we can understood, and I think Stephanie, that you have to go and thank you, and I think others will have to go. Now, I've got a 4 o'clock, well, local time call, a top of the hour call myself. So I think I would like to ask that... Stephanie, which language are you offering to look at? Because it feels to me like we ideally need a volunteer from M and C to have a look at, okay, the special review. So Stephanie will look at Avery's special review stuff. But are we willing to let staff have a go at bringing together the design team C escalation and this Annex Z? I think that may be the most pragmatic approach, given the information that we've discussed here. Thank you, Bart. And Greg supports that, I see, in the chat. So I think given the how stretched everyone is, and Donna's happy with that. All right, so we'll let Marika and Bart have a go at integrating those two escalation processes. And as we come to the top of the hour, thanks for staying on, everyone. I think that's pretty productive. We had a very ambitious agenda for 90 minutes, and we've achieved a lot of what we might have expected to. So the notes will be available shortly, as will the recordings. And thanks for your help in pushing this forward yet again.
Jonathan, I have a quick question, but I may just send it via notes. It was just to confirm the action items.
Okay, Grace, I'll stay on for a minute or two and we can have a look at that, and anyone else is welcome to do so. The recording's still running, so that's fine. Let's have a quick look at those.
Okay. Okay, so my brief question was, there was at one point Donna raised a question of whether or not criteria in the CSC needed to be identified, and I was just wondering if this was an action or if this was just a discussion point.
I think it was, my memory is that and we need to just cross-check that with the Phase 2 escalation, but given the revised role of the CSC in Phase 2, I think those triggers, those criteria became less important. I think they were critical if the CSC had the kind of role that was envisaged when we came into the call, but exactly as Donna says, I think we moved past that.
Okay, great. Thank you. And the rest, I think, is all set. I'll send the notes, and anyone can edit if there's a concern. But thank you.
I just wouldn't. Okay, well, we could edit online. I'm just going to check with you on the I wouldn't mind checking those. I guess we can look at it online as well, but I wouldn't mind a quick check of those where you got to with that wording.
Yeah,
I can't see it exactly.
Yeah. I have dropped B completely. So the actions for the Phase 2, I have edit the intro text to, in that section about the ombudsman, should these issues not be resolved, resolved in Phase 1, then they move into Phase 2. I had included in there, but there may be an edit mistake. And then I had update point A to reflect that the language would only be CSC is notified by complainant. And we never determined whether it was complainant or IFO or just complainant. Complainant.
Right, Grace, I'm going to have to drop. I think we'll have to have a look at that language on a list as appropriate. Have a quick look at that. So give us your best draft and we can respond to you on list,
sure,
with an edit or two as necessary.
Okay. I'll work with Marika and Bart on that. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Grace. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.